Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
Take your Bibles, turn to Titus. Titus in chapter 1. What a day. What a day we live in. You know what? I'm an old-time religion kind of guy. You know what America needs right now? The old-time religion. Amen. Man, that's trying everything else. Doesn't work. That brings us to the book of Titus. And I trust that this morning we'll have some time in the Word of God, and you'll understand that as children of God, as the Church of Jesus Christ, Lord willing, the Philadelphia Church of Jesus Christ, just before the rapture of the church, man, it is a battle that is heavy and hot. And America's got some big problems. Our founding fathers did not stumble their way to brilliance. We celebrate America. We celebrate that grand experiment. This is a country that's known the blessings of God. Let me ask you this, and I know your answer is the same as mine. Have you ever experienced a nationwide revival in America? You know how long it has been that America has been drifting away from God? Our founding fathers, the most quoted book in the documents of our founding fathers was the King James Bible. Did you know that? Writers like John Locke, attorneys like William Blackstone, these were brilliant men. And although there's been some victories legislatively of late, it's wonderful that abortion has been put back into the hands of the people. That is a big step forward for the United States of America. It's wonderful that our Supreme Court has upheld the Second Amendment. Those are wonderful things, but that doesn't fix America. That doesn't fix the problems that we experience here in America and what is going on. 56% of the population just got this weekend. For the first time in history, 56% of the population of the United States of America is no longer proud of the United States of America. 20% of all pregnancies end in abortion. 55% of marriages end in divorce. 45% of couples together are not even married, they are unmarried. Seven to eight out of ten people in America have no church affiliation. This is a real loose number, and the numbers go all over the map. But between 4,000 and 8,000 churches are going to close this year in America. We have LGBTQ, WXYZ, plus whatever to the power of 10. Everybody, you know, that's the vogue. It's going on in every direction. Let me ask you a question. What makes us different than Sodom and Gomorrah? How is it any different than in Acts or Genesis chapter 6, the days of Noah? Here we are. Jesus is coming soon. Amen. But we're all about exalting Christ. We need to do our part to get as many people as we can back to the old time religion. And truthfully, I don't mean the religion of 50 years ago. Our forefathers, the generation prior to us, they had their hang-ups as well. I'm talking about the old time religion that is the first century religion. We get to do that Uber style right now in the year 2022. We can be that people that is so in love with Jesus that anything he would ask us to do, it wouldn't be too much. We would raise both hands and say, use me, Lord, use me. That's the old time religion. Here's the deal. Before I read a single verse, the old time religion is a heart thing. Amen. It's just like salvation is a heart thing. You don't just sign a piece of paper. You don't just pray a prayer and not have any repentance and not have any heart to it. The Bible says, and the greatest commandment is that we would love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, the scripture says. You see, it is a hard thing to get born again. And it is a hard thing to fall in love with Jesus and love Christ as much or more than we ever have before. This generation is hungry for that kind of religion, that kind of relationship. And I'll say this, the old time religion is not a religion at all. It's not do's and don'ts. It's a relationship. It's being so in love with the Savior that anything you read in the Bible, it wouldn't be too much to ask. I owe my Lord everything. At camp this last week, man, camp's been going on there since 1986. One of our older, actually, she's not a teenager anymore. She was counseling. Liberty walked up beside me, and I was standing between the chapel and the dining hall and the snack shop. I was just kind of looking like this. And she walked up behind me without me knowing. She walked up behind me and kind of said in my ear real softly, "Are you Nebuchadnezzarine? Nebuchadnezzarine?" And I thought, and she was having fun with me. In other words, I'm standing there looking, and look what I have done. Man, look, what accomplished, what great accomplishments. You know what? There's too much of that stuff in the church. And like I said in Sunday school this morning, we have to have people that just fall in love with Christ. Yeah. The preacher preaches something that says, "Thus saith the Lord." There it is in the scripture. I'm in, man. I'm in. I read my Bible. The Holy Spirit teaches me. And he actually teaches me because I walk with God. And I'm reading the scriptures, and he says, "Thus saith the Lord." I'm in, Lord. I hear your voice. Nothing's too much. Nothing. I owe you everything that I have. What a Savior. Amen. Titus was left on the island of Crete to set in order and prepare the churches for great days to come. They were disheveled. There was a lot of problems. The Cretan people were very stubborn, independent-minded. As a matter of fact, just like Upers are today. And Upers have been in the past. And if you look at the island of Crete in the Mediterranean Sea, you can almost see the outline of the upper peninsula there. And these were people that were just self-starters. They got it done on their own. They didn't count on anybody else and don't have time for God or the things of God. And here the church of Jesus Christ is planted there, but there's issues and there's problems. So Paul leaves Titus on the island of Crete to set in order to prepare the churches there. This is the third of the pastoral epistles. Titus himself, according to the book of Galatians, is a Gentile. Titus himself was led to Jesus by the Apostle Paul. Verse 4, "To Titus, mine own son, after the common faith." Titus was a co-worker with the Apostle Paul in Corinth, in Philippi, in Crete, and then finally back in Corinth again. These are three short chapters. 46 brief verses inspired of God. And there's a lot of ways to read this, and there's truth all over it and good doctrine all over it. I can't preach all 46 verses, but I can do some summarizing here this morning and just preach a couple of simple things. And what I want to identify this morning is the old-time religion was alive and well in the first century. Hey, let me say this. America needs Jesus. Amen. And the only way America will find Christ is if what I'm calling this morning, the old-time religion, will be forefront again. Where the local church, man, that's the place of fellowship. That's the place of worship. That's the place of edifying the brethren. That's the place of iron sharpeneth iron, and nothing is going to come between me and the local church, because it is the bride of Christ. That old-time religion where you're head over heels in love with Christ and he comes into every conversation. Every time you talk to somebody for any length of time, you bring Jesus into that. That is the old-time religion. It says here in verse 1, Paul, a servant of God, said that in Sunday school. There aren't enough servants of God in the church of Jesus Christ. People that just serve God because they love him. People that just serve God and won't take no for an answer, no matter how much pressure they get from the outside. An apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness. By the way, Jesus never leads to ungodliness. Christ will never point you in the direction of the world and say, "Live like that. Be that will. Dress that way. Talk that way." He'll never do that. Verse 2 says, "In hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began." God's plan of redemption. God's plan of salvation. 22 souls received Jesus as their Savior at camp this last week. That is not including the 11 boys and girls that came forward for assurance of their salvation. Whether they were really saved or not, they made sure. So that's on top of the 22. People are getting, we have seen people saved, get born again all spring, and now we're entering into summer, and I'm telling you, it's time you got on board and you became part of it as well. I was proud of our teenagers. Man, they're out there counseling little kids. They're pouring their lives into little kids. You'd have been proud of them. One of them led another one to the Lord, and I walked up to him and said, "Man, it feels good, doesn't it?" He said, "Oh yeah, it feels good." He's here this morning. God bless the people of the book that are sharing the gospel with everyone who will listen. I led a man my age to the Lord last Tuesday. He received Jesus as his Savior, baggage and all, and he got born again. There are people hungry for the gospel in every direction. Verse 2 again says, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. Then verse 3, but hath in due times, that means the timing was right, manifested or made known his word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior. The Apostle Paul writes to Titus and says, number one, God's ordained it, preach the word of God. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, and for instruction in righteousness. He said, preach sound doctrine, not kumbaya, sound doctrine, meat and potatoes. Let you in on something. Not everybody that comes to Fundamental Baptist Church stays. That breaks my heart. God gave me a pastor's heart. That breaks my heart anytime that happens. Not everybody, and I've come to this conclusion, I understand this man of 65, not everybody wants to be a soldier. Some people are just looking for a casual, comfortable, Jesus loves me kind of thing. And man, you're welcome here, and I want you to stay here, and I want you to grow in grace, and you hear enough Bible preaching, you're going to get out, and you're going to become a soldier, and you'll be involved in the work of God. But meat and potatoes, that's why people come to church here. It's line upon line and precept upon precept. It's getting the word of God engrafted into our souls. It happens more than in the church services. It was Charles Spurgeon that said, if I could just get my people to read their Bibles every day, my ministry will have been a success. And that's true here. You're going to get Bible preaching here from all the pastors. You're going to get meat and potatoes, but you got to go home and take your Bible with you and eat meat and potatoes during the week as well. And allow the Holy Spirit to be your teacher and your preacher. Again, preach sound doctrine. Don't have time to look there. Ephesians and chapter 5, and I think it's verse 25. It says the church, the bride of Christ, is washed by the word of God. And we did this study a couple of Wednesday nights ago, and the word, there's several different words in the Textus Receptus for the Bible word, which means the Bible. One is the written word. That's the word logos. The other is the word rhema. That is the spoken word, and it's the word rhema that is used in Ephesians 5, 25. You know how the church is cleansed? Through the preaching of God's word. Now, because the preacher, the Holy Spirit, I don't know why he does it this way. You can ask God about it sometime. Why? I think God would use an angel, but he doesn't. He used sinners saved by grace, so I'm one of you. I'm just like you. Any preacher is just like you, and we all have our issues. But then we study the word of God. The Holy Spirit teaches us. Then we stand in a pulpit or in a platform or in a corner somewhere or at the fairgrounds in the grandstand, and you preach forth rhema, the vocal, the verbal word of God, and God the Holy Spirit uses it. Then he takes it, and it goes into all kinds of hearts, and it takes root. And man, they hear that Jesus saves. They hear that he loves sinners. They hear that he's a holy God. They hear that sin, that doing the right things, it does matter. And it all connects. And then God the Holy Spirit draws that sinner to Christ. And that seed germinates, and a soul is born. It's called born again. And he says here in verse 3, he reminds Titus, but hath in due times, right now is the time, the church age, manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of our Savior. The old time religion, it's about preaching sound doctrine. I'm off the point right now. I'll just summarize by saying this. I said it in Sunday school. This is for the preacher too. Don't let the culture dictate doctrine.
Yeah, that's right.
Go to God.
Amen.
Find God's truth. Forget the culture. It's never let anybody right. And it'll let you down every time. So he says on the island of Crete, keep preaching it. There in the Upper Peninsula, keep preaching it. Sound forth the word of God. Preach sound doctrine. Look at verse 9. Holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort, that's to encourage, and to convince the gainsayers or the critics. In other words, you're going to fight this world and you're going to fight the culture by preaching the word of God. Sound doctrine. They're the great doctrines of the faith that are themes that are repeated here again and again and again. The Trinity, the Godhead, the deity of Christ, the ministry of the Holy Spirit, our standing in Christ, that he's the Savior that came to the whole world, for the whole world, and died for the whole world, that they would just come to him. The verbal inspiration of the Word of God, the fact that God did not leave us alone. Not only did he ordain the church, and not only did he ordain, of course, the Holy Spirit of God, but he ordained the Word of God, and the Holy Spirit inspired, God breathed the book. We're not alone in the year 2022. It doesn't matter if the whole world turns their back on God, but I'll tell you this, the whole world has not turned its back on God. There are people living underneath the tyrannical heel of dictators that are thriving in their faith for Christ. I mean, there's the underground church that has none of the freedoms that we have here in the United States of America, and they are thriving. That being said, I don't know how far into Titus I'm going to get. I want to say this one more time. I hunger for revival. Amen. We've had revival regionally. We've had revivals statewide, churchwide, in my lifetime. There has never been a national revival. Not since the Great Awakening, the Second Great Awakening, some of the battles that took place in the early 1900s up into the 40s. And since that time, it's just not happened. Can I say to you, it's time?
Yeah.
The old-time religion, sound doctrine, a love for God. Look at chapter 2 and verse 1. Communicate. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. I am to verbalize sound doctrine. I am to find a way to get the Bible into the lives of my loved ones, of my coworkers. I got to find a way. I got to find a way to communicate to them, to verbalize the love of Christ. Let me help you. God will use anything you have as long as it's not contrary to Scripture, as long as it's ethical. God will take what you have and use it to reach others for Christ. Do you know, and it's been 100 years now, almost 100 years, we used to have a church men's hockey team here at Fundamental Baptist Church. Don, you remember that? Good days, huh? Remember the next day? We had a club. We thought we were pretty good. We had bike bib. Remember uniforms? Baptist fire on the front. That's old time stuff. A lot of people don't even know we used to do that. Man, we had a group of guys. We thought we were good hockey players. Here's the thing about hockey. No matter how good you are, you can find somebody better. All the time. We played a couple of clubs. We played some colleges. We always used it to testify. Monday night, we'd rent the Polar Stadium. And after the game or between, you know, after the third period, we'd take pizza over into the other locker room. Hey, guys, got some pizza for you. Can I have 5 minutes? And I'd tell them give them the gospel, tell them about Jesus. And their grizzled, old, weather-beaten, toothless men would bow their heads and receive Jesus as their Savior. And I'd look up and there'd be tears in their eyes. And man, we just got through going to war against these guys. And we'd just use every avenue we could to win others to Christ. I have one nightmare concerning that memory. Remember Rhodes Arena, going over there and playing that all-star team? Oh my, over in Sioux, Canada, oh my goodness. We went over there, it's supposed to be small potatoes, right? We're in the locker room, we're suiting up and putting all the gear on, man, doing the shin pads. We're all vicariously reliving younger days, all right? And I could hear a bunch of noise out in Rhodes Arena in Sioux, Ontario. And I went out, opened the locker room door, and I looked out, and I went back in and said, guys, the stands are full of people. I said, what? And we're playing this Christian all-star team, right? I think we lost 17-3. Normally in hockey, you're fighting for ice time. Get off the ice, and over the boards and on the board, you know, off, you know, and just get, this time people would come off and everybody just lean forward and say, who wants to go next? But you use whatever avenue, whatever opportunity you have, whatever skills, whatever God has put on your plate, you've got to find a way to communicate the gospel of Jesus Christ. Teach people good old-fashioned Bible words like repentance. You know, like praise, like adoration, like prayer, like tithing. Teach that one. Teach it all the time, right? Tithing. You know, teach faith. Bring them, verbalize. That's the old-time religion. Don't blush to speak the name of Christ. Man, when you get into a certain crowd and they start to talk hard, so what? Man, use it as a platform. Stand up. Get a little steel in your backbone. Put your shoulders back and stand up for God. Verbalize. That's what the Apostle Paul did. That's what Titus did on the island of Crete. Preach sound doctrine. Speak sound doctrine. And I do. I still love the King James Bible. I'm a Textus Receptus man. I believe that God has given us what we have, and we're to hang on to it with both hands and sound forth the word of God. By the way, The only churches that I'm aware of that really are winning people to Christ are people that are still hanging on to the book. I don't know of exceptions. I've been in the presence of some of them, and it's real soft, and I don't know if people are getting saved or not getting saved. It's kind of kept left nebulous, and the people in the crowd are nebulous, and they don't know if they're in or they're out or they're up or they're down. Preach and communicate sound doctrine. Let's look at verse 7. Verse 7, I got to close this off. Live sound doctrine. This is important. This is where the rubber meets the road. In all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works, an example of your habits. In doctrine, showing uncorruptness. That's integrity, no corruptness, gravity, and sincerity. It's supposed to be real. It isn't just a Sunday go to meeting, 1 hour on Sunday, talk one way, and then live the rest of the week for the devil. That's not how it's supposed to work. Nobody is going to come to Christ around those kind of people. We need to take a stand, and we need to be bold, and we need to stand for God. Live sound doctrine. Philippians chapter 1. Turn over there quickly. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 27. Be real. Laugh. Cry. Fellowship. Like a human being. Like someone who is a sinner and now born again and a new life, a new creation, and now everything is fine in spite of the storm, in spite of the fire, in spite of the deep water. It matters not. You're real. And when you're going through that tough time and you point to Christ, what a difference that. That's what separates you. That separates the men from the boys. That's what catches the attention of the world. You're not acting like you're supposed to act. You're acting like there's something that's deeper in your life. And that something is a someone. And his name is Jesus. Verse 27 says, only let your conversation, that's your lifestyle, only let your conversation be as becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, in one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. It is all about getting out the gospel. I am to somehow find a way to expose the gospel, expose those around me to the gospel of Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians in chapter 9. Turn over there. 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 19. For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. Remember what I said about the church of Jesus Christ needs more servants? Here's the Apostle Paul's motto for life. This is it right here. I make myself a servant of all. And unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews, and to them that are under the law as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law, and to them that are without the law as without law, and being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without the law. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I made all things to all men, that by all means, that I might all means save some. You are not better than anybody else in this world. I don't care what the culture is telling you. You're not better than the drunk. You're not better than the whoremonger. You're not better than the man that is all caught up in whatever sin, or she is all caught up in whatever sin it is. We're no different, except that we're saved by grace. Amen. Every time I see a drunk, I say to myself, but for the grace of God. And that'd be me. Thank you, God. Amen. And we need to rescue the perishing. To do that, I've got to live sound doctrine. Here's another thing. Look at chapter 2 and verse 10 of Titus. Chapter 2 and verse 10. Not purloining, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior, in all things. That word adorn is the Greek word we get the word cosmetics from cosmio, that word adorn. It means to embellish. Here's what Paul is telling Titus. You find good men. You make sure they are qualified to be the pastor and called of God. And you set in order the churches on the island of Crete. And you teach them to preach the word of God and to speak the word of God, maybe part of their everyday living. Teach them to live the word of God, a pattern of good works. And then you teach them to adorn the word of God or embellish, make it attractive. Don't lie. You don't have to lie about God. You can't. You don't need to lie about heaven. It's better than you can imagine. You know, don't be telling stories. Just give them the truth. Just and adorn that doctrine, that truth, with good works. Hey, let's look at one more verse. Look at chapter 3. Oh, it's hard to stop with one verse. Verse 8 is what I want to get to. Let's go to verse 8. This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly. Here we are this morning. That they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. We're not saved by good works. Look at verse 5. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he has saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. So we're not saved by good works. That's very obvious. That's good doctrine. That's the truth. That's God's truth. But we are to maintain good works after salvation. We're to adorn sound doctrine. I'm not to push people away from God. I want to attract people to God. I want them to look at my life and say, man, I want what he's got. Man, that joy that's obvious in his life, I want what she's got. We're to adorn it. We're to maintain good works. Let me close with one great verse that is so uplifting to me. Because America's need, and the only thing that's going to fix this country, is for the churches to find the old-time religion again. For the individuals and the households to get back to loving Jesus again. But understand this, no matter how dark it gets, no matter how hot it gets in the battle, Jesus is coming to rescue us. Look at chapter 2 and verse 13. I tell you again, if you're here and you're not born again, no matter how deep you are in sin, the grace of God goes deeper. No matter how far you've gone in sin, the grace of God goes farther. And because of that grace, there is a blessed hope. There is a glorious assurance that every child of God has. One day very soon, that trumpet's going to sound. One day very soon, he's going to take his church off of this earth. Man, you don't want to be one that's left behind. You don't want to be one. You want to be living in such a way that when the trumpet sounds, it's homecoming day. Verse 13, looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Maranatha, there it speaks of God the Father, great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let me read 14, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke. He's talking about preaching with all authority. Let no man despise thee. Would you pray for the preachers here at Fundamental Baptist Church that we would be enabled by God, that we would be anointed by God, that we would have that unction from above that turns teaching into preaching. And that we would adorn and embellish sound doctrine. That all of us, all through the church house, from top to bottom and side to side, that we would do our very best to speak sound doctrine, to preach sound doctrine. That is our calling. Exalt Jesus Christ. America's in trouble. It'll never be fixed by way of legislation. Although I thank God for recent decisions. But it doesn't fix America. It's America's soul. It's America's heart. It's the churches that no longer preach the book. It's the good people in good churches that have grown apathetic. And the truth is, if there was somehow, some way to measure this, I know he can do it in heaven. There's very little love for God and a whole lot of love for culture. Until that gets turned around, no revival. Make it personal.
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book, broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you Good News from the Good Book.